We're going to be starting our reading in First Peter, the second chapter. If you don't care to stand for the honor of reading God's word, if you're willing and able to do that, we'll get right into the message this morning, talking about the chosen race, and our society today, it's just like, ooh, you start talking about race and it gets a real tense and divided. But we're going to line it up with the word of God here and see what he says about chosen race and how that we are a chosen people. So starting in 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12, it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that you've given us, Lord Father, to come to your house. God, we pray that you would speak this morning to the hearts of all mankind here, Lord, that we would be open to receive what you would have us to receive this morning. If there's lost in the house this morning, God, that you would speak to them, that they can come to an altar of repentance and receive this wonderful gift of salvation. Lord, we understand the strict judgment upon our life of rightly dividing your word, and we accept that place this morning, that we always want to give you honor, glory, and praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Amen. So being a being chosen or being the chosen race. So how many of you all remember a time in your life when you were chosen? Okay, I could say yes. And I started thinking about this as I began to prepare for this morning and pray the direction of God. I started thinking about all the times that I've been chosen. And I went back as far as elementary school on the playground at Caneyville Elementary, Purple Flesh, go Purple Flesh. Okay, I remember going back and being out on the playground and when captains were chosen and then they picked their team. So I went back a lot, went back way, way long ago, and most of y'all thinking, yeah, I remember that. And being chosen, you're a part of this team, and you're a part of that team, and you're a part of this team. And just the feeling that it made you feel down on the inside. And also, I remember, as I got older, see if this even relates to me at all, I'm going to ask you guys. So as a senior in high school, out of 350 students in our graduating class, I was selected for being the one that had the most school spirit as far as enthusiasm and excitement at all the games. And I would say, yes, I was glad to be chosen for that. I still have the yearbook and the picture of me sitting in the big hat at Grayson County High School. Go Cougars. Okay? Go Cougars. Yeah, so I remember that. But being chosen for things like that. But also, think about when you were chosen to be led for a project. Maybe so you were chosen to be a captain of maybe one of the teams that you played for. And also, think about it this morning, as simple as somebody chose you as their friend. And I'm so thankful that you know, over 16 years ago that my wife, she chose to marry me, and I'm the blessed one for that. Okay, so think of how that makes you feel in your life of being a part of something where somebody chooses you to be a part of any of these things throughout life. It's amazing and just how that makes you feel down on the inside. Does anybody else feel bubbly down on the inside this morning? How that makes you feel of, wow, somebody actually, I never thought about that we chose to marry each other. We chose to marry each other. It's pretty amazing how that makes you feel. And also, I also remember a time of being categorized or putting in a category. And I went back as far as high school. Whoever remembers being a part of the jocks or the nerds? I mean, being a part of the jocks in the 80s, that was big. Like, jocks or nerds? Jocks or nerds? Okay? Revenge of the nerds. Jocks or nerds? Okay? and go back. Or you can remember of maybe being called. I remember here was a title that they had at our school in high school. You know, skanks or preps. Skanks, because of the way you dressed. It was like, what? What are you talking about? Skanks or preps? And here's a good one for this area, okay? I got hillbilly, city boy, hicks, okay? Being categorized as that. It seems like, and even more so today, and the reason I say that, yeah, it's good to laugh about, but think about this. I even more so today, I believe our society wants to put us in categories. And I can go as simple as old and young, okay? I could go as far as being black or white, or go as far as being Democrat or Republican, or liberal or conservative. So see, society has done this too, is everyone's got to be put, you believe this way, we're going to put you in this category because that's where you should be, because that's the way it all should be. We all should be divided, right? No, that doesn't line up with the Word of God at all. At all, it doesn't line up with the Word of God. And I'm so thankful that a God in heaven, I'm glad that a human being, we didn't have to come up with this plan of God. I'm so thankful for that. It would be messed up. But I'm so thankful that God in heaven came up with a perfect plan, a whosoever will plan, that he said, you're part of the chosen race, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, okay? And that he loves us. And I'm so glad to think about what the Word of God says, because our country, even more now than so, I would say that most people are in one of those groups categorized as what our society say you're categorized in. And we're more divided now than we ever have been. More divided now than we have. But this isn't anything new, okay? This isn't anything new. We can read through the scripture where it says there's divide and people thinking this and that. But God made a perfect plan to bring a people together where we could believe what the Word of God says through the blood of Jesus Christ, that could make this all a chosen race. A chosen race. And I'm so thankful that. So through all of this, it's important to remember what he spoke in 1 Peter 2. Okay, it's remember who we are. We have to remember what he spoke and who we are. And the Bible says so clearly here that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him. Why? Because he called us out of darkness into this wonderful light. At the end of the day, you can think about all these categories and all these divides, but right here, we're all a part of this chosen race. We once were in this dark, now we're in this light. Why? Because is it something that we did? No, but it's everything that Jesus did. It's what Jesus Christ did that allowed us to be a part of this chosen race. And I'm thankful for that. So when you look at Christians, Christians are not the white race, but they're the chosen race. Okay, and Christians are not the black race, but they're the chosen race. Hispanics are not the Christians that are not Hispanics, but they are the chosen race, okay? And we got to break it down while we're thinking in it. It's not the black chosen, the white chosen, the yellow chosen, the red chosen. But God did not choose us and then just stand by unresponsive. He didn't say, you're chosen, and then just turn his back on us and have nothing to do with that. He didn't do that at all. But you know what he did do? He allowed us to be drawn toward him. Okay, and at the end of the day, when he extends his mercy and his grace, in order for him to respond and say, you are a part of the chosen race, he looks at you and he responds through mercy and grace and says, okay, I choose you. Now will you choose me? Will you choose me? And ultimately what that really comes down to is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you realize that Peter here, he's talking to the church. He's breaking it down individually. He's talking to the church here about this chosen race, the saved individual, the people that have responded because they say, yeah, God has chosen me. And I choose to follow him, and I choose to do what God wants me to do. Do you remember this song? Red, yellow, black, and white, we are all precious in his sight. Man, we need more of that today. In a nation that's so divided and it's so, you can't talk about this, or somebody gets so upset and you're wrong, and we just want to club everybody. Let's think about that song, red, yellow, black, and white. We're all precious. And whose side? In his side. Every one of us. And it's amazing that God has given us an opportunity where we, through the Word of God, are able to connect to something that is real and that is precious. That excites me here this morning. Do you realize that Jesus of Nazareth was a Jew? Okay? He was a Jew. Do you realize that he was born of a virgin? Okay? Her name was Mary. And that his dad that adopted him, Joseph, he was a descendant from David. Okay? And I say that because when you think about that mixture of diversity, when you think about that mixture of diversity, how powerful of a moment when you think of the people that are so different, and God being able to say, okay, Jesus, you're a Jew from Nazareth, your mommy's going to be a virgin, you're going to be born of her, your daddy is going to be a descendant of David, and glory be to God, Jesus is going to bring all of this together, where all of this diversity that's going on, that we can come together and realize that God loves us all. And God has a perfect plan for us all. And it's not, hey, it's my way or that way, but it's God's way. And down at the end of the day, well, let's just get real like this. Sean, where are you from? Litchfield. You're from Litchfield. Me too, man. Boop. Go Litchfield, okay? We're from Litchfield. That's in western Kentucky. Okay, do you realize that Pastor Grant, he's from eastern Kentucky. He's from Ashland in eastern Kentucky. Pastor BJ, he's originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. God bless him. Okay, we'll pray for you. But he was raised in Bowling Green, Kentucky, which is western Kentucky. Okay, myself, western Kentucky. I met a girl from eastern Kentucky. We've got some people that are here that are from Michigan that have joined. We've got some people that are from Breathitt County, that are from Flemingsburg, that are from Clark County, that are from Bath County, and I'm from Alabama. We even have Alabama people here. We'll pray for you guys, okay? Okay, we even have, but all of this, and it's amazing. Think about all this diversity that Living Water Church have. We have blacks, whites, Hispanics. We have all kinds of people here that God brings in this wonderful place where we can get together and glorify his holy name. There is power in diversity when a body of believers could come together and say, listen, it ain't about my language, my ethnicity. Isn't about it, but it really truly is about the cross. It's about Jesus. It's about him giving his life for you and I, that we could have this plan. That guess what? The only way that I could worship with an Alabama fan is through the blood of Jesus Christ, okay? Okay? That's it. There's no other way that could possibly happen. But glory be to God, there's diversity here at Living Water Church. And I'm thankful for that God can bring a messed up people like all we are and bring us together where we in harmony can come together to worship the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the kingdom, one king, one race. And we can all do that in harmony. Man, that is powerful. That is powerful, needless to say. And it's time that we as a society, it's time that we as Living Water Church, we stop this us versus them. This us versus them mentality, because guess what? At the foot of the cross, every nation, race, tongue, individual, through the power of the blood of our Savior, becomes the chosen race. I mean, how they become the chosen race? If you choose to follow him. If you choose to follow him. Because I really truly believe that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, okay? You should not sit here and perish and die to go to hell, but he chose you, and he chose you to be amongst this congregation this morning that you could have an opportunity to be saved. He chooses you. Will you choose him this morning? Be a part of this chosen race, this royal priesthood, this holy nation. And man, at the end of the day, God loves me. God loves me. This whole messed up me, God loves me. Okay? There's a lot of people out here in the world that don't love me, and that's all right. As long as God loves me, that's what the most important thing is here in this life. And I'm so thankful that we've got a place called Living Water Church. that we can come to and feel this, man, we are a part of this chosen race, this chosen race. So listen here. So Peter is letting the church, he's letting the church know that we are a chosen race. Why is he letting the church know? So that we can impact the nation and the world. No, I'm not saying impact the nation and the world by telling people who they need to vote for, but impact the nation and world by telling them about the good news. And you know what the gospel means? Good news, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's how he wants us to impact the nations and the world, is saying there is a plan out there. If you're a drunkard, he chooses you. If you're an addict, he chooses you. Okay? If you're a pedophile, he chooses you. If you're a murderer, he chooses you. If you're a messed up husband that is a deadbeat dad, he chooses you. Okay? If you're a mom that's absent from your kids, he chooses you this morning. And that's the way that we in our hearts and in our mind have to see that God, even how messed up that we really are, God chooses us if we so choose to follow him. But you know what? The sad thing about society and life, man, there'll be a lot of people that just choose not to follow this. Man, I've told you guys this before. I'm so thankful. So when I die, so Adam, when I die, if I find out all this was just make-believe and made up and it was a cartoon and a fairy tale in my mind, I don't lose anything, right? I don't lose a thing. It's just over with. But man, think about those people that on the opposite end, if they die, okay, and their life ends, and then they didn't believe here in this life, and then they get there and they realize, dude, what they were telling me was the truth. It's too late then. It's too late then. There's no, hey, let's go back and let's do a do-over. It's too late then. So think about this precious blood of Jesus Christ and us having this opportunity to say, you are a chosen race, a royal priest, a holy nation, and it's time to quit this us versus them mentality and say, hey, we are a part of God's plan, God's people. He's brought us together. Because you do realize Jesus wasn't an American, right? Oh, yeah, he wasn't. He wasn't an American, okay? Jesus was the Son of God. You could title him whatever you want to, okay? He was the Son of God, and he loved us enough to give his own life, willingly give his own life for you and I, that we would have this opportunity to be a part of this family of God. Man, you're a child of the King. You're a child of the King. And we see here, that in 1 Peter, the implication here, he was talking to this. So when you're reading 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12, think of this on an individual standpoint, okay? Think of this about being individual. Peter is talking to the church, and when he's talking to the church, he's breaking it up as individual, as the gospel so often does. The gospel will speak, it'll speak to a group, but it will individually bring you out. It will individually convict you. It will individually, how's that preacher know that about me? The preacher don't know that about you, but the Holy Spirit does. And that's why it breaks it down individually here in 1 Peter. And as he talks, it's because this isn't race, okay? When we talk about the race that we talk about, but it's the chosen race. It has nothing to do with racial, okay? It's not racial at all. But it has something to do about being a chosen people. A chosen people, a chosen race here. And we see in the Old Testament, as he spoke, it goes as far back as that. But the chosen people, and what it says here, that we are a new people from all peoples, born-again believers, all colors and cultures, who are aliens now of this world. We're all aliens now of this world. This is a strange place to us. This is not our home. Okay, this is not our home, but God's got a better place for us. He's got a kingdom ready for us, okay? And to get to that kingdom, he chooses you, but you have to choose him this morning to be a follower of Christ. So we see here in the Old Testament, as he spoke in Deuteronomy 7, 6 here, look at this. He's talking to the children of Israel here, because we love Israel, right? I love reading about Israel. I love it. Love reading about it, just how God delivered. God delivered, God delivered. You know, Israel was the chosen people, okay? They were the chosen people back then, okay? And here's what it says in Deuteronomy 4, 7, 6 says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. So God chooses the children of Israel. So this whole chosen race thing started a long, long time ago. This royal priesthood, this holy nation started a long, long time ago, okay? A long time ago with the children of Israel. In today, how many of y'all have ever been a part of a movement or a cause? I'm a part of a movement or a cause. Well, let's just think about this, okay? Man, I'd love to see a Red Sea movement, okay? A Red Sea movement. Because when we think about the Red Sea, the chosen people, the children of Israel, they were captive and enslaved to Pharaoh the king, okay? They were captive. But they had a Red Sea movement that took place where God decided to take them to a place by the Red Sea and completely divide it where we know what happens, okay? They walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. Do you believe that truly happened? Okay, I'm going to ask you, do you believe that truly happened? Okay, because guess what? If you believe that truly happened, then you can also believe that there's a dude that got swallowed by a fish as well, right? Okay, I truly believe that it happened. And I also can go as far as believing that there was a dude thrown in a pit with some lions and they never did touch him. I could believe that too, okay? And I also can believe that there was a dude that died, that was put in a tomb, and on the third day rose again. You see how all this ties together and it points right to Jesus Christ? Every bit of this. So what about a movement today? And instead of seeing social media flood with opinions, I see social media flooded with, here's what the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is all about, and make it a platform for a Red Sea movement, because at the end of the day, I'm going to be wrong about things, you're going to be wrong about things, but at the end of the day, when I line it up with the Word of God, it ain't wrong. It ain't wrong. And it's time for us to realize it's not us versus them. But take every opportunity that we as children of God, the chosen race, the royal priest, the holy nation, can come and bring a people together. You know what a real Christian does? They become a leader. And what a real Christian can do is bring a group of misfits together and tell them, hey, Jesus loves you. You're messed up, but Jesus loves you. I'm messed up, but Jesus loves me. We're all just messed up, but he said, you are a chosen race. You are a chosen race. Man, I think that'd be cool. I'm going to get me a bracelet. Red Sea Movement. Okay? Campaign it. Put it all on my chest. Red Sea Movement. But it's powerful because we don't think that things like that could really happen nowadays. Okay? We don't think that's the way God worked back then. But God does amazing things. You know what I've seen him do that's just as powerful as a Red Sea Movement? Okay? The Red Sea Moment there. I've seen him restore broken marriages, okay? I personally watched God take everything from a family member of mine, okay, and put them where they needed to be because they were so jacked out and an addict on drugs and meth. And he placed them somewhere in their life, okay, so they could get cleaned up. And now, 8 years later, they're as sober and as clean as they can be. You're talking about a powerful movement. It's happening nowadays, but we can't see it because it's us versus them. There's something powerful happening. I guarantee it in your family, in your workplace, when you're at the grocery store, there is powerful things happening. You've just got to take the blinders off and find where those things are at. And when you do, man, whew, diversity, powerful, people coming together, believing and trusting in the Word of God, trusting in the Word of God. Then we see this in the New Testament, how Israel, so we talked about how Israel was a chosen people in the Old Testament. Then we come on over in the New Testament and we see how Israel becomes this nucleus of the true church, the chosen people, the chosen race, on the day of Pentecost. They become this nucleus. And Paul talks about in Romans here, as we talk about, so you remember the comparison of the olive tree and then the branches being broken off. So he's talking about this here in Romans in the 11th chapter there. He talks about an olive tree, and it, the olive tree, represents the covenant people who is Israel. Okay, the covenant people who is Israel. And in the Bible, we even say, well, man, it's Jews against Gentiles. It's Jews against Gentiles. It's all this. But here, this is all debunked and taken out of context a lot of times. There's just this great divide. But watch what the scripture does here, okay? It says, and the Gentiles are compared to the branches from a wild olive leaf, okay? A wild olive tree. They are compared to that. And then they are grafted in to this plan. They are a chosen race. So the Jews, okay, the Israel here, okay, was the olive tree, okay? And then there was these branches out here from these old wild olive trees that were taken off and grafted in to this chosen race, this people. And guess what? Who was the root? Who was the root? Jesus. Jesus was the root. Jesus is the only individual that could actually take misfits from this tribe over here and misfits from this tribe, that he could take someone like me, someone like Grant, someone like Pastor BJ, take someone like you, take someone that may speak another language. Jesus is the only one that can be rooted and grounded, that can bring and graft all these individuals in together where we are one church. We are the true church. We are the chosen race, the royal priesthood, the holy nation. I'm telling you, there ain't no individual, there ain't no president, no governor, no senator, congressman or woman that can bring people together like Jesus can, because he is the true root, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him, guess what? You shouldn't perish. That's exactly right, because God chose you, but you have to follow him and choose to follow him. Will you do that? Will you do that? So it's time to quit saying, man, them against us, them against us. No, God chooses every one of us. He chooses every one of us. And it is time for us to stand up and say, man, there needs to be a great movement that's going on about this place. Because you are, guess what? You're a chosen race and you are a child of the King. A child of the King. Let me read you over here in Ephesians. Okay, so in Ephesians, here's another way where it debunks all of this us versus them mentality. Okay, and I love this because this is truly what it's all about. And I'll pick out the words that are really, really crucial to understand here. So Ephesians 2:14 through 16, it says, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body. Listen to this right here. How's he do that? Through the cross. Through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Killing the hostility. If we as a people, when things get heated, would look at the cross, all hostility would be gone. If we as a people, when things are becoming divided, would look at the cross, all this racial divide and this tension that it's about our nation and about our people and church among church, it would completely stop. Because the perfect plan of God that he set up is, guess what? He knew there was going to be a divide, but he said, guess what? I have a common denominator, and it is Jesus Christ, and I place him right in the center to die between the heavens and the earth on a cross, that he's willingly gave his life for you and I. He is the only true one that could bring us together. Jesus. We are a chosen race. We are a royal priesthood. Man, I think that's some good preaching this morning. Can I get an amen? Come on. Come on now. Man, you are chosen. You're here this morning. You are a chosen race, an individual. So there in Ephesians, it kind of debunks all of this divide when it talks about the divide between the Jews. So listen, okay, are you clear? There's not a Jew plan and a Gentile plan, okay? Not a Jew plan and Gentile. There's cross plan, okay? And the cross brings all these crazy beliefs and traditions and I'm right, you're wrong. It brings all of these people that are crazy together. Because I've been called crazy before, and I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that. They said, you really believe there was a dude that got on a boat with his family? Do you believe that? I said, yeah, I sure do. And I believe God delivered them 40 days and 40 nights. There's a flood. I believe that. I believe that. And I believe that he made a promise. And I believe that he put a bow in the sky. I believe that. I believe every bit of that. I believe, yeah, they sent the birds out there. I believe that. I truly do. Do you believe that? Do you honestly, when you think about God and his word and reading the scripture, well, how do you become so knowledgeable in God? I just read what his word said and I take it because he spoke it. He said it. He told us who we are and what he said that you are. He said that you are a chosen race. You're a holy nation. You're a royal priesthood. You're all of these things. He said that. And here, let me give you some more examples where this divide stops, okay? Okay, so in Acts 20, 21, here's another place where this divide stops. It says, testifying both to Jews and to the Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That debunks this whole thing. It's a Jew plan and it's a Gentile plan. Nope, nope. Okay, it tells you right there in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians also says this, where it debunks all this us versus them mentality. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, it says, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. See, not a Jew plan, not a Gentile plan, but a cross plan. It's where it brings it all together here. And in Romans 10, 12, here's another one. I love the Word of God. I love it. It doesn't matter how I was raised or what they told me, but where I get my truth from is the Word of God. That's where I get my truth from, right here. Because mommy and daddy may have taught me something, but that's not necessarily the right thing. But the Word of God is the right thing. So in Romans here, 10 and 12, it says, for there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. Not a Jew plan, not a Gentile plan, but guess what? A cross plan. And because of that cross plan, we're able to sit here at Living Water Church as a bunch of born-again believers saying, yeah, I might have this opinion, or yeah, my preference may be that, but you know what? We can all agree on that Jesus loved us and gave his life for us and died on a cross and rose again on the third day and all that other stuff at end time will all make sense. It'll all make sense after that. So I'm not going to get upset, Tony, if you disagree with me. And I hope you don't get upset if I disagree with you. Because at the end of the day, here's one thing that we can agree on. Jesus. Because he is the root that allowed the olive tree to come together and graft people in. You see, that's what he done. Eastern Kentucky, Western Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio. He had this one tree, a tree of life, and he grafted us all into that, into the family of God. There's one kingdom, there's one king, and there's one chosen race, and that is the born-again believers in Christ, whosoever choose to follow him. So yeah, it is crucial this morning, because at some point, you're going to have to make a choice. You are. You're going to have to make a choice at some point. Peter and Paul both were Jews. You realize that. So we read out writings from Peter and Paul here. Okay? They were both Jews. But they clearly, from the Word of God, they were inspired by God, the Holy Spirit, what to write down. Okay? And they were clearly not after just the Jewish people. They were clearly after all people. Because when they wrote this down, they were clearly saying, listen, we've got to stop this. But Jesus, the perfect, the supreme sacrifice, the Lamb of God came to bring all of these different opinions and get rid of them and say, right, here's a way for us to all get together. It's not a Jew plan, a Gentile plan, but it's a cross plan. We are chosen by the cross and through Christ, we are grafted in by choosing to follow Jesus, being born again, because all born again believers in Christ, when we read 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12, we are the chosen race. We are the royal priesthood. We are the holy nation. And this morning, when you ask yourself those questions, am I part of the chosen race? Am I a priest? Do I belong to a holy nation? And those are crucial things that you should answer this morning and ask yourself, because it will come down to the fact is here's what will happen. You this morning in your seat will have to make a choice. Okay, I'm already a part of the family of God. I'm going to continue pressing forward because I know that the grace of God is always going to be there for me. Are you this morning saying, man, I'm not a part of any of that. I hear it. I love it. I think it's great. But how do I become a part of that? And dear invitation, God's going to tug on your heart. He's going to draw you down to an altar where you can come and we can talk right here. Or if you raise your hand and say, hey, preacher, come here. I need you to talk to me in my seat. I'll do that. Okay? Or if your neighbor right beside you, you know they're saved, you say, hey, man, I need to be saved. Will you pray for me right now? Do that. Or after service, when we dismiss, I'll stand up here. If you say, man, I'll come down after service. Come down and we'll pray and we'll get this taken care of because Jesus grafted us all into this wonderful plan. Do you truly want to be a part of the family of God? So it's time to stop thinking of us versus them, but it's time to start remembering what he spoke and remembering who we are. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12, but who we are. Living Water Church, you're a chosen race. You're a chosen race. And this morning, if what you see doesn't match up with what he spoke, I go with what he spoke. Okay? If God is saying you're forgiven, but you don't feel forgiven, I would say go with what he spoke. If he said you have peace, but you're full of anxiety and it's getting you down, I would tell you this morning, if you're battling that, go with what he spoke. And some of you here, you may have been told that you're given a diagnosis, but your faith is telling you something different. You know what I would tell you? I would say go with what he spoke. Because live or die, you're a winner either way. Good news or bad news, you're a winner either way. Because you are, guess what? 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. You are the chosen race. You are a royal priest. The Bible says what? He says we're all kings and priests. We're all kings and priests. Why? Not because of anything that I've done or someone had this royal ring and said, you were born into this as being these prestigious people. No, because I'm a sinner, and by the mercy and grace of God, he saw fit to choose me, and I chose him to follow him, and I was convicted of my sin, repented of my sin, and born again because Jesus gave me that opportunity. And he will so much this morning give you that opportunity as well. If you can't, you can't depend on the words of other people to tell you who you are. You have to go with what he spoke. He said, you're chosen, you're priest, you're holy, and you're love. So this morning, guess what? If you're broken, you're chosen. If you're an addict, you're chosen. If you're a cheater, you're chosen. If you're an alcoholic, you're chosen. If you're an orphan, you're chosen. If you're from Breathitt County, you're chosen. If you're from Alabama, you're chosen. If you're from Litchfield, you're chosen. Guess what? If you're from Michigan, you're chosen. And most of all here this morning, if you're depressed, you're chosen. If you got anxiety, you're chosen. If you're messed up, just messed up in your head, you're chosen. And at the end of the day, I can tell every lost that's sitting in the house this morning, you are completely chosen. There's not an addict plan. There's not a depressed plan. There's not a Jew plan or a Gentile plan. There's not a Flemingsburg plan. There's not a Litchfield plan, Ohio plan, or Alabama plan. You know what kind of plan there is? There's a cross plan. In Ephesians, he told us we can all come together because through and by the cross of Jesus Christ and him dying, we can all come together as one chosen race. And you're here this morning. I'm going to ask you, are you saved? Are you chosen? Are you a royal priest? Are you a king? Because I'm no longer going to walk around like I'm defeated, but I'm going to walk around like Peter says here in 2, 9 through 12. You are chosen. You are a royal priest. You are a holy nation. And by Job's will, Keith, he loves you. He loves you. Over here, he loves you. You crazy teenagers, he loves you. You're all messed up in the head, but he loves you. And what? Guess what? He loves every one of you. So what are you going to do about it? You going to praise his holy name? Say, man, my life is messed up. There's a lot of craziness going on. My marriage is falling apart. My workplace is falling apart. Me as an individual is falling. I don't feel like I belong to anything. Well, guess what? You're lying to yourself. Because the Word of God tells us you're a chosen race. You're a priest. You're holy. And you're love. Every individual here, as I skim across and I look at every individual here, I'm going to ask you this simple question. Man, are you saved? Are you born again? Are you a part of this chosen race? Because at the end of the day, man, when I take my last breath, at the end of the day, all it's really going to matter is, man, that I chose to follow him. And this morning will be a good morning for you to choose to follow him.